Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about Tesla now accepting Bitcoin as a payment option. We also have an updated note from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler, a demo of Tesla's new Smart Shift feature in action, price increases in China, and a couple other stories as well. Tesla stock today finished down 4.8% to $630.27. The Nasdaq had a rough day too, finishing down 2%, that compared to the Dow, which was flat, so definitely some sector rotation happening today. As a reminder, we are now 1 week out from the end of the first quarter. Tesla will likely post Q1 delivery and production numbers on Friday, April 2nd, or Saturday, April 3rd. All right, so the big news for today, Tesla is now accepting Bitcoin as a payment option for Tesla vehicles in the US only at this point, with Elon Musk saying on Twitter that pay by Bitcoin capability will be available outside the US later this year. So in Tesla's design studio, you now see three payment options: pay with Apple Pay, order with card, or pay with Bitcoin. Unsurprisingly, the Bitcoin price is fluid, so if you are on the order page and you refresh it, you may actually see a different price 1 second to the next as the price of Bitcoin in US dollars fluctuates. Tesla has now also added a Bitcoin support page going through some frequently asked questions about Bitcoin transactions. They talk about that price fluidity by saying, quote, "Once you're on the payments page and the timer begins, you will have until the timer expires to complete your payment. Once the time runs out, the QR code, Bitcoin address, and Bitcoin price will all expire and you will need to create a new order or return to your Tesla account to initiate a new final payment," end quote. Tesla now also has a Bitcoin payment terms and conditions page going through all the elements of the transaction, specifically noting that if you send your Bitcoin to the wrong wallet, that's obviously on you, not Tesla. I did see a couple articles talking about that today. That's normal. So all of this pretty expected back when Tesla had originally purchased their $1.5 billion in Bitcoin. They said they would start to accept transactions in the future. We're seeing that here. Probably the most interesting part of this was an Elon Musk tweet saying, quote, "Tesla is using only internal and open source software and operates Bitcoin nodes directly. Bitcoin paid to Tesla will be retained as Bitcoin, not converted to fiat currency," end quote. So this means that Tesla will be fully validating their own transactions, their own blocks on the blockchain, meaning they're not reliant on a third party to handle any element of these transactions. Tesla said using open source software, their own full node, so no banks involved here, just a direct transaction. This is the part that the Bitcoin subreddit was most excited about, saying that this is the actual news. The top comment in that thread is, quote, "Running a node is what it's about. That helps the network. And without those nodes, Elon wouldn't be buying Bitcoin. So big ups to anyone running a node. And I'm glad to hear they are actually doing some footwork, not just spending billions of fiat," end quote. Of course, the other important point is Elon saying there that they're not going to be converting Bitcoin back over to fiat. So number one, don't expect that we're going to see a sale of Bitcoin from Tesla anytime soon. And then number two, obviously this means their Bitcoin balance will grow with each of these transactions. Personally, totally fine with that. I expect this to be an extremely minimal amount of transactions. I think the vast majority of people that have that amount of Bitcoin probably want to hold that Bitcoin, because if they have that much, they probably think it's going to be worth more in the future. So I'd guess that way less than 1% of Tesla's sales end up happening through Bitcoin, which begs the question of, okay, well, why even do it in the first place then? But I think there are a couple of big benefits here for Tesla. First of all, this is classic Tesla marketing. I saw a ton of different comments today about, oh, next-gen car, next-gen currency. Totally makes sense. Even if you don't see Bitcoin as a currency, a lot of people that love Bitcoin don't even see it as a currency. But regardless, offering it as a payment option adds a little bit of that futuristic high-tech cachet to Tesla. And that's on top of, as Tesla tends to do, generating a ton of press from this move. The other benefit that I see here is this allows Tesla to learn about digital currencies. You never know what that might lead to someday, maybe a Tesla coin, maybe Mars coin. And even if it just stays as Bitcoin, the setup that Tesla has now is that as Bitcoin becomes more popular as a form of currency for transactions, then Tesla would naturally start to acquire more and more of it. If no one's using Bitcoin to pay for anything, then Tesla's not acquiring any additional Bitcoin. If tons of people start using Bitcoin to pay for stuff, then all of a sudden Tesla starts acquiring a lot of Bitcoin. Personally, I don't really expect that to happen, but if it were to happen, Tesla would be set up for it. I think the last big question that I've seen on this today is just how this will be handled from a reporting perspective from Tesla. I think that remains to be seen. I don't have a lot of insight into that. A lot of these things are evolving currently, but what the IRS does say on their website is that, quote, "The use of virtual currencies to pay for goods or services or holding virtual currencies as an investment generally has tax consequences that could result in tax liability," end quote. So I don't think either for customers or for Tesla, using Bitcoin as a payment method would absolve them of any sort of tax implications or things of that nature. All right, next here we've got an updated note from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler. He's still got his $1,200 price target on Tesla overweight rating. This note's not really about that price target, but last week Piper Sandler hosted an electric truck day with 11 different companies to get a feel for how that market is developing. He said, quote, Last week, we hosted Electric Truck Day, which was a full-day event featuring fireside chats with 11 different management teams. We have distilled the event down to a handful of key takeaways and also summarized investor attendance by company. Regarding Tesla's prospects in truck-related markets, the next 6 to 12 months will be crucial. Don't be surprised if production delays lead to temporary sell-offs, end quote. So that attendance thing is kind of interesting. It should be noted that the time of day may have impacted things, but the most attended session was Arrival, followed by Nikola. As for Tesla, Potter writes, quote, Cybertruck and Semi are approaching a critical phase. Don't be surprised if Tesla experiences delays. Tesla remains one of our highest conviction long ideas, but even better entry points could lie ahead. Temporary sell-offs seem likely because over the next 6+ months, there is a high degree of unpredictability in Tesla's production ramp. This is particularly true for the company's new plants in Germany and Texas, the latter of which will be producing both battery and truck-related products using novel manufacturing techniques, end quote. So I think this is a great reminder, especially on Texas. There is a lot of new technology there. Elon has made warnings about that in the past. It's very important to not forget about those things. And small delays like that have definitely been troublesome for Tesla's share price in the past. I do think Tesla is in a different environment now because of the cash cushion that Tesla has. Launching things on time and ramping up production quickly is important, especially for the long-term outlook. But with Tesla's core business already being profitable and the cash balance Tesla has, delays are no longer something that really calls into question the simple viability of the company like they used to. Doesn't mean there won't be a better buying opportunity, but Tesla's obviously in a much more stable financial position now than they were during previous production ramps. All right, next up here, we've got our first look at how the manual control for Smart Shift will work in the updated Model S and Model X. Remember earlier this week, we had seen the user interface leak, and as part of that in the quick controls, there was that gear select. But over on the left side of the screen, there's also a little car icon over there on a grid. And from this new video which has surfaced, it looks like that's what's being used for gear selection on screen. I think it looks pretty simple. It looks like a little bit laggy in terms of the input on this demo video. Maybe it feels a little bit different when you're actually using it. But I do think you'd probably get used to using this pretty quickly. And depending on how well Smart Shift works, obviously the goal would be to not really have to use it at all. I think my biggest question would be around situations kind of like three-point turns or parallel parking. And hopefully we'll have some videos on those sort of things soon. We have seen vehicles being transported out of Fremont, so hopefully delivery's not too far off. All right, next here we've got a price change on the Model Y in China. Tesla has raised the price on the long range and performance Model Ys by 8,000 yuan, so about $1,200. This, of course, following some of the strange price changes that we've had in the US this quarter. The Model Y here in the US is now a little bit more expensive, at least for the performance model, than the beginning of the quarter as well. All right, last couple of things here. First up on Porsche. Porsche has released an over-the-air software update, which is giving owners the option to decide to reduce their max charge power from 270 kilowatts down to 200 kilowatts to help reduce battery degradation from charging at those higher rates over time. I think the reaction to this story would depend on how much worse the degradation is at that higher rate of charge. On one hand, it's great to give owners options, but on the other hand, Porsche really hyped up the Taycan as having 350 kilowatt capable charging. They touted that as one of their big advantages versus Tesla. Now they've capped that at 270, and then even are recommending capping it at 200, which then even ends up being lower than Tesla at 250. So to really get the ground truth of this, you'd have to compare degradation at those various different charge rates for Tesla, for Porsche. But it just seems a little bit ridiculous that Porsche originally touted this, got a lot of credit for that, and have just slowly wound it back over time. Lastly here, just another report from Reuters on some action happening in Congress. They say that, quote, two groups of U.S. Democratic lawmakers on Wednesday urged President Joe Biden to reinstate tough Obama-era vehicle emission standards through 2025 and do more to shift the U.S. toward electric vehicles, according to separate letters seen by Reuters that are not yet public, end quote. They say this is from a group of more than 70 U.S. House Democrats who are asking Biden to ensure that by 2030, 60% of the passenger cars and trucks sold are zero emission. We had also previously discussed that California senators had asked Biden to put a deadline on the sale of gas cars. Looks like there are now 10 senators involved with that request. So we'll continue to keep an eye on any developments there, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, March 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.